Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 59 of Rise of the Star-Lords. Wrecking up the place? Because I'm just guessing that's going to happen. I have no idea what these people are going to do, but I'm pretty sure property damage is going to ensue.
No way.
You damage us? Yeah. Do you even know us?
A little bit. I mean, last week you locked a bear in a dining hall and locked some giants in another building after convincing them to stop supporting Mokmurian. And it's just a whole lot of locking people in rooms and convincing them that they made bad decisions with their life.
That seems like the least violent way to solve these problems.
Yeah, I thought we were pretty responsible.
That I know, but like that's like that was the standout because normally you just murder things.
Yeah, remember the episode before that where we pippin the Sharpwing down a giant gaping hole in the floor?
Nope, don't remember that.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Also, you sort of have a Wolliped named Bubbles following you around. I don't have their token near you at the moment, but you do have a Wolliped named Bubbles that you tamed.
More like Wollipet, because there are Wolliped pet. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Solve these goblins. Yeah, shades. So, our icebreaker this week is courtesy of Dr. Jekyll, they, them. Your character can make one of your body parts detachable without any negative repercussions. What body part would it be, and why? Conrad.
Well, as you can tell by my character art, my hat is actually a non-detachable intrinsic part of my character. So I really want to be able to take it off so I can scratch my head, because it gets really itchy over there sometimes, guys.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's a non-serious answer to a serious question. Let me talk about my character. So Grawr eats everything he sees. He's got that toddler phase of like, I wonder what this is like, and I'm going to find it out by putting it in my mouth. So sometimes like he really would like to detach his stomach and empty it out, right? Because like stuff gets stuck in there. You know, like light machinery, rocks. You know, like it. Uplifted bears are not designed to digest these things, so that is my slightly more serious answer.
Yeah, you are an uplifted bear, but you have the stomach and the appetite of a goat.
Right. And right, like I said, the appetite of a toddler. Just driven more by curiosity than hunger.
Yeah. What about Lahan, Nick?
This is a terrible question. I mean, I really want to say like my head, right? It's the obvious answer, but I don't know if Lahan would say that. She already detaches a part of herself, right? She can pack things wirelessly.
I mean. Detaching your head's pretty fun. Robin Williams successfully played a character that did that in The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. And it was pretty hilarious.
That is a truly fun fact.
Right?
Yeah, he was when the head was separated from the body, the head floated around and wanted nothing to do with the body because it had all sorts of hormones going on in it and it was all horned up and the head became super logical. But if the body ever managed to get a hold of the head and pull it back and reattach it, it had like this neck locking mechanism, then he became all horned up and he was very, very affectionate with his wife.
Is horned up like something you can find in the dictionary?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've heard someone say it and it felt appropriate. If you watch The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, which I highly recommend, you'll see. Yeah, Robin Williams had a lot of fairly well-known people in that cast. Robin Williams was in it, a very young Uma Thurman, I think. A couple other people that are fairly well-known are slipping my mind because I haven't seen the movie in about a decade.
Anyway, yes, I can already detach my brain and send it places, so I don't really need to detach anything else.
Okay. What about Finn, Lapis?
So after a long and serious thought on the topic, I think my right hand, because that's the hand that I gauntlet on, and if I could detach it, I could do like a flying gauntlet punch, which would just be excellent.
You want to do like a rocket robot punch is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Fair. It would be terrifying. Could you imagine that with my current damage and everything? Just
This is Starfinder. That's not as out of the realm of possibility as one might think.
Oh, I know.
I feel like I've seen something about a rocket punch not too long ago, but I could be misremembering. Leif, what about Ava?
I gotta know. Does the body part still work when it's detached?
I am assuming that it is still fully functional when detached.
Then Ava would like to be able to remove one of her eyes to use it for spying and sneaking.
That's so creepy, and I love it.
Just leave it in a room somewhere that she wants to make sure nobody's messing with her stuff or something.
Get like a little spider carriage built so it can split her around.
We're on the same wavelength, Leif.
Give it a toss.
So like, there's a second edition D&D spell called Prying Eye, and you literally want to make you Prying Eye.
Yeah, you're definitely on the same wavelength as me, Leif. I made a Monster of the Week character that had detachable body parts. They'd like pull off a hand and an eye, and they'd send it off because the hand would be mobile.
Now you guys got me wanting to make like a Rasputin-esque character from Anastasia.
Yeah.
You can detach random body parts just to like do different things.
The ghost, the eye thing was probably the witch lady from the Dark Crystal. She can take her eye out and it would do things. Tom and Essento.
Hi. So mine is similar to Lapis's. Well, it's the same as Lapis's. Essento also wants to be able to detach his hand, but so he can throw it at people and cast spells on them with a range of touch. From range. You know. Like Mystic Cure. Did Mystic Cure touch? Gosh. System confusion. I think Mystic Cure is touch.
It is touch.
I think it is too.
It is touch. Yeah. You're... So a Mystic Cure from like 30 feet away would be pretty dope.
It's like catch my hand and feel better.
There's an entire spell to get around that in first edition Pathfinder.
Ghost We're not hand. Playing first edition Pathfinder, Jeff. Playing Starfinder.
Apparently they decided that spell didn't need to exist anymore because it summoned a ghostly hand that you could send out 30 feet to touch things for you.
That's pretty neat. I mean, yeah, Jacinto has like the Starfinder mage hand, but and there's an epiphany mystics can take that allows them to cast spells further away. But
that's our icebreaker. I did the little bit of recap, and we should be looking at roll 20 and just a big old cluster of all of you and three harpy monks sort of perched up high looking down on you from this now open inner bay doors for the main airlock.
We close the door.
I
love it.
You waited 2 weeks to make that decision?
Well, the thing is Ava, what do you want to do?
not close the door.
Haha, Lahan's plan is foiled by Ava.
That first harp right there in front of me. Does a 29 hit.
Well, let me look at my hero lab, because I am a foolish fool and didn't just have that memorized for you, Leif.
Yeah.
You said 29?
29.
29 does just hit.
What about a 22?
Well, 29 just hit, so a 22 is right up.
Okay. So, three shuriken misses, or two shuriken misses, but the third one hits for 41 sonic damage.
These harpies are not like 60 feet in the air. They're kind of perched in an elevated position, but they're within range of your shuriken. And that was 41 damage. You are an abomination and must be destroyed, Leif. I'm sorry. But now it's Grar's turn.
So Grar has one thing on his mind, and that is he looks down at his claws. He realizes for some ridiculous reason they've got a 15-foot range. He looks up at his heavy foes and full attacks him.
To be fair, Grar is a 10-foot large bear.
I know.
So like, a 15-foot reach isn't preposterous, except for the fact, for mitigating circumstances.
I mean, it's not even ridiculous for real bears.
Anyway. Yeah. All right, so let me roll that full attack.
I'm just picturing noodly arms stretching out in unnatural ways.
Instead of 22 against EAC.
Both of those will miss. Grar will flail wildly at these harpy monks that nimbly dodge as they sort of shriek and cackle almost melodically.
Okay.
And it is now one of the harpy monks' turns. And that harpy monk is going to, I need to look real quick, spend a move action and sort of go into a horse stance on their perch and hold their two fists at their hips. What would have been the palm of their hand facing up, and they start glowing with plasma energy, and then with their standard action they throw out one punch, karate style, at Grar, shrieking in a approximation of a ki as they launch a bolt of plasma at our bear friend.
Bear is not impressed, but proceed.
But they roll abysmally, a 4 on the die.
Uh-huh.
Which is nowhere near enough to hitting you. That's a total of 18 to hit.
I'm not going to force you to do math on that one. No.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But the rest of the harpy monks get to go. And I think they're going to copy their sibling. I'm just fast forwarding to Jacinto, but I am going to make the attacks for the other harpy monks. They're all taking move actions. They are all glowing with plasma energy, and they're all going to just, well, one of them's going to punch at Grar, and one of them's going to punch back at Ava. A 26, I'm sure, will miss Grar.
You are sure.
And a 23, I'm sure, misses Ava. These harpy monks are just going to get wrecked, aren't they?
I'm sure they feel really cool.
They're trying to be cool so hard. They're just shrieking at you. And again, it is a shriek, but it almost sounds a little bit melodic. There's a weird juxtaposition of bad and good going on in there. And it's Jacinto's turn.
All right, Jacinto checks his spell list, spell slots, both of them, in fact, and remembers, oh yeah, he hasn't spent any spells today except for one. So Jacinto is going to reach out with his mind.
No.
And let's see, does he actually want a mind thrust? These are things Tom should have thought about. Oh, I've got a fourth level mind thrust. How many spell slots do I have? Oh yeah. fourth level spell mind thrust on Harpy the left. Please make me a will saving throw.
I will, but I also felt like I should probably shift Z so you could get a close up look at this. You will.
Terrifying.
And you said will save. Not their best save.
Hoping for a won't save, in fact.
Do they have a neck like one of those like little telescoping tubes?
So they fail.
Oh, this is very
they got a 19, and I believe the DC is 21.
It is. It's 21. I work with children. I'm sorry. So 54 points of damage, and
which one did you target again? I'm sorry.
On the left.
Okay, I'm gonna give them colors because I was a foolish fool for not doing that before.
The target is fatigued for one round, having failed their saving throw.
I feel like they're just a little bit depressed. They're like, oh, I really just let myself down there. I'm gonna feel sleepy. I wanna take a nap. Because I feel sad about myself. So I've been.
Well, good. This fatigued is a nasty condition. And then Artanya is going to... How high up are they?
They're 20 feet.
Okay. Artanya will fly up to meet them in glorious combat.
No!
And bite. You gave me these wings, Jet! Artanya will bite. Bite? Come on, Artanya. Do the thing. They're fatigued. 32. Oh, that's going to the GM now. But that's a 32 to hit for 21 points of piercing damage.
I mean, I appreciate the information, but I don't know why you're hiding it from our viewers.
I didn't need to. I'm going to change that right now. Rolls are public. Something must have changed in the structure.
No information, and you don't need to know.
That harpy just looks very, very hurt, both physically and emotionally. Feels picked on.
Yeah. Yeah, some real cacophonous music just sort of rocked their head, and then a giant Cthulhu-esque spider sort of flew through the air and latched onto one of her wings with his patapulps. And that's my turn.
Yeah. The harpy was like, I like death metal, this isn't going to be bad, and then you played something that, you played like black metal, and they were rocked to their core.
Yeah.
And it is Lahad's turn.
Ah, well, I'm glad Cinto can still rock in the core. I don't like how close I am at all. But I'm gonna combat track the green one and take a shot. Street sweeper. 26 to hit. EAC.
That will miss.
Yeah. It was only a 7. All right. That's it for me.
All right. Finn! There are a trio of harpy monks staring down upon you. You have your companions around you, and these harpy monks are just punching bolts of plasma at people.
You're muted, Lapis.
There we go. All better. I was curious what the darker gray thing is.
The darker gray thing. Could you?
Yeah, so we're on this light gray spot, and there's a darker spot that have flying above. Am I up or down from them?
So I drew this map, and I didn't have time to draw multiple layers. So that the darker gray with the white, the lighter lines is sort of like that's sort of the exterior view that I cut chunks out of to put in, like, these are halls going through the hall, and this is the big central room. So where the harpies are is actually an airlock that's passing into the structure, and they're just kind of up about 20 feet on a little perch because that's kind of their guard station.
Okay, well, I'm going to Proton Attune, and I'm going to kick off the ground and fly up 20 feet and then over to that. Let's see. Flying, if I've got wings, is just the same as normal movement, correct?
you should have a 30-foot fly speed with the Strix body mod that you have. And I believe you have a Viridian Balbus
Aeon Stone.
Aeon Stone, which increases your speed by 10 feet. So you should have a fly speed of 40 feet.
Cool. And I can get there. I'm correct, unless our size map squares are weird sized.
Yeah, and I can't remember if you took the effortless acrobatics or aerobatics feat.
Not as of yet, no.
Okay, so going up is double speed. It's effectively yeah.
Alright, well, I will photon attune and I'll move up and then over to them, but I won't attack, because that's all my movement.
Okay. So Finn starts glowing and flapping, and it's Ava's turn again. You really wrecked, like, you hurt that one. You only hit once, and you really hurt that one. And everyone's piled on it, and its feelings are hurt. And it's just making a lot of noise and glowing.
Oh, I feel bad.
You're just bullying this poor innocent harpy monk.
27 to hit.
What is your definition of innocent?
Uh-oh. Something just happened. Uh-oh.
Innocent.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, no. I just lost video and everything. Discord just decided to restart.
Dear viewers, can you hear us?
Probably not.
I can hear you.
Oh. How strange.
There we are. Now I'm back. Sorry about that, everybody. Discord just had a mini stroke or something.
How dare you drink that Baja Blast right in front of me? Oh, Baja Blast, I miss it.
I'm terrible. It's the sugar-free kind, too.
Hold on, can you not have Baja Blast?
Oh, I can. I just don't have a Taco Bell near me.
I don't have a Taco Bell near you.
Right? They're like the most ubiquitous restaurant in this country.
I can't argue with that. There's one like a half hour away. I'm not driving a half hour away to get Taco Bell.
That is a trek.
It's just poor planning on Tom's part when he moved where he moved. He didn't pick himself a spot that's close enough to a Taco Bell.
Okay, you're being silly, but like, I'm considering whether when I move, like, am I gonna look up where the Chipotles are? I'm leaning towards no.
I'm gonna look where the Qdobas
are.
There's
a lot of echoes.
Yeah, someone done this.
Anyway, so I was talking about these poor innocent harpy monks, and Lapis was questioning my judgment, and it was Leif's turn.
Does a 27 hit?
27 misses. That's what was happening. Was missing was happening. This is wild. This is wild.
We do not have any plus ones right now.
We still miss the harpies, but our aim is getting better.
Yep.
Alright. Gorr thinks to himself. Okay, I made 2 rolls under 10. What's the chance I'm gonna make 4 rolls? Minuscule.
So which one were you targeting?
The middle one.
The middle one. For 2 hits, a 36 and a 34 to hit, for a total of... What's up?
That's 91 damage.
Yep. I was gonna make sure that people listening and not watching knew that there were some numbers involved. Because we're not always the best at that, and I'm trying to be better. But 91 damage. That harpy shrieks and blood flows as your entropic claws just rip into this poor creature who's just doing their job.
You can try, but I'm not going to feel pity for it. Is it unmade from existence?
It's still alive, but it's really hurt bad. it gets to its turn, and actually it gets to its sister's turn, and its sister, seeing what's happening, is just... They spend a move action and a resolve point, and their wings glow from within, incredibly bright, and it it flies away.
That's fair.
Bravely ran away.
Just flapping as hard as it can, and you want to know what else is going to happen? The remaining two harpies are going to follow suit. Artania will get an attack of opportunity.
Yes, he will, because we're at a level where he is so dangerous he does get an attack of opportunity.
Oh, I've got a thing for when people. Oh no, it's only when they got a step away from me. Dang, never mind.
A 23 will. But they've started to scatter and fly. And it's Jacinto's turn. They shriek, this time in agony and confusion and irritation. They're unhappy.
One of them was fatigued. Red was fatigued.
Oh,
did that affect her fly speed?
Let me toggle fatigue. Toggling fatigue apparently did not affect the fly speed, but let me read just in case. Fair. Minus one penalty to armor class. Attack rolls. Melee damage rolls. Thrown weapon damage rolls, reflex saving throws, initiative checks, and strength and dexterity based skill and ability checks.
Okay.
And the amount of bulk you can carry without becoming encumbered is reduced by one. So that's what that
is. Fair enough. Thank you for checking.
Yep.
Tanya is going to fly after Harpy.
Cruel Artania.
Cruel Artania. Well, I mean, Jacinto calls out to the group, we should probably finish them off before they fly off and alert literally everybody in the base.
My thoughts exactly.
So, Artania will take a bite at Red. That's only an 18 versus KAC. Getting worse, not better.
That's gonna miss.
Yeah. But I tell you what, let's throw... surrounding them in etheric shards would have been a fun prank. Let's throw another mind thrust level 3 at them this time.
What? Why?
Red, of course, can make me a DC 20 will save.
DC 20. Come on, hero. Ah! 15 on the die. 24.
Take 21 points of mental damage.
To Red?
To Red, yes. Red. And that is our collective turn.
Ow. It's an owie. You're like, we don't want them to warn anyone. You had a firefight in the middle of this deck. Dead bodies flew into other sections of the ship. but it's Lahan's turn now.
Well, I'm much more comfortable with this distance. I'll shoot. This green icon that track, right? Yeah. You know, I think I don't think this one is unwieldy. Unwieldy? Unwieldy. I can shoot twice. Haha! That's a crit!
Oh!
Hey.
Which one were you shooting?
The green one.
The green one. Well, the 33 does hit, and then the 35, which is a critical hit, also hits.
Also, what happens when you knock down when you're flying? Let's click the sleep to find out.
I'm pretty sure you fall 10 feet.
Yeah, I think
that's ground, what though. Happens. Definitely look that up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this happens every time there's a flying enemy, I swear, and I can never remember it. Ghost, pack me up here. This happened all the time in our Wednesday game.
You know, and it happened in our Siege on Sandpoint, too. Yeah, of course, Knockdown just says, the target is knocked prone. See page 277. Dear Nethus. There are no pages on Nethys.
Yeah, Ghost is backing me up here saying, well, backing me up. He's quoting, fall 10 feet, go prone if you hit the ground.
Yeah.
Nice. Perfect. So, I believe it.
So green is now 10 feet off rather than the 20 that they were. And they're hurting really bad because that was so much damage. That was 89 damage, I think. Finn.
Yeah, 89 points of sonic damage directly at Harpy's face.
How far away have they made it?
I mean, green has descended down to 10 feet above the deck, and if we take our little measuring tool, green is 40 feet away from you.
Nice. I can move over. No, I've only got 30 movement speed, don't I?
I believe you have 40 unless your armor slows you.
I do wear heavy armor. It's hard to find things on my sheet with this dart. Yeah, it's a 30 fly, dang. Can I charge while flying?
I believe so.
Jury's out. A lot of people allow it, though.
I'm gonna do a solo rush if that's allowed. I think it should be.
Sure. Okay, you can bull rush, or you can melee attack at the end of this charge. Which one are you doing?
I'm going to do a melee attack.
Okay.
I was real long since I thought about how much damage that does. But yeah. I can just do my regular melee attack, so it's fine. I don't have to think about it right now.
Yeah, it's a regular melee attack. The only time you have to worry about the other damage value is if you decided to bull rush.
Yeah, I was just looking at it and realized I haven't used this in a while. Nice.
That definitely hits, and that definitely hurts. And she screams in agony as Finn runs up.
Soars up.
Yeah, I'm just picturing Finn soaring up, and I know Finn's not the kind of guy that does this, but it looks like with the very fancy, like, gilded armor in your artwork, I'm just picturing you in a Letterman's jacket, like you're running down the hall, and you just punch a nerd in the back of the head.
Nerdy harpies.
Huh.
Go make out with a math book.
And it's Ava's turn now. Ava, you have foes fleeing before you.
Ava is gonna launch herself 25 feet into the air with her jetpack.
Sure.
Straight up. And then fling a shuriken at red. 36 to hit for 50 damage.
That's gross, Leif. That's gross. You should feel bad.
I never feel bad for rolling 17 on a die. Especially when that's the hit.
I was talking about the damage is what I was talking about.
I never feel bad when I roll 8d6. A little personal fireball for that harpy.
Yeah, gosh, that's so much damage for just like a throwing... like a shuriken, which normally does like a D2 in any other system.
Any other system.
Yep. So you flew and you threw, and now it's Grar's turn. What are you gonna do, Grar? You got some bird ladies.
So Grar knows what he's going to do. But to clarify, which of the harpies looks least wounded?
Least wounded is blue.
Okay. Now I've got a mechanics question. So here's what I want to do. Please tell me if I can mechanically do this. I want to charge and bull rush to my jetpack, the blue harpy. What happens by bull rush it?
Bull rushing lets you knock prone,
right? But like, if it's flying, is it just gonna fall to the ground?
Bull rushing lets you shove something. Trip is what makes you knock them prone. And as we discussed, I believe they would fall 10 feet. And if they touch the ground, they would be prone.
Okay. That seems like damage with extra steps. I'm just going to attack it.
Okay.
I'm going to charge.
Sure.
Yes, I am. I don't know why I closed my character sheet. I just I opened up every single time. Alright, where are you, Charge?
Nick was kind enough to teach me if you double click on the top little banner for your character sheet, it will minimize and go semi-transparent, so you can just pop it back up and put it back down whenever you want.
So I did a bull rush. I hit the bull rush button, which is...
Is it the same attack bonus?
It's the same attack bonus.
A 30 does hit, so you can just roll your attack so that we have the appropriate damage.
A mere
38? A mere 38. Oh, God, these poor harpies. I feel so bad for them. I feel bad.
I feel bad for them. They're monsters.
I feel bad for putting enemies on the field in front of you guys now.
Uh-huh.
It's all the harpies' turns. The harpies are running away. Leave them alone.
I'll take my attack of opportunity now.
I will likewise take my attack of opportunity.
Sure. Just one moment. Let's do this one at a time. I'm starting with blue, the one closest to Finn.
Green?
Or green, sorry. I looked at the wrong... bubble.
Oh, again, I'm asking to clarify. Please continue.
Yeah. Run. Finn, feel free to punch.
Yeah. This dark mode is really mucking with me.
Well, you could turn dark mode off.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
They're bad. It's bad with the sheets, regrettably. It looks really nice until I opened up the official Roll20 sheet.
Yeah. Maybe the Pathfinder sheet will look better.
Maybe.
It's a nice hit, though.
Yeah, it was a very nice hit. It did not die. It has that going for it.
My one regret is that I did not hit it with my best shot.
No. Sorry, go ahead.
Artania, feel free to potentially murder this harpy monk. Garar, if you wish to take an attack opportunity on that one and not blue, you can as well.
I accept your terms.
22 sucks.
29 really does hit. 44 obliterates it. I'm just taking that off the map there. Blue is going to run, and no one has attacks of opportunity to target blue.
I'll get it still. Just you wait.
No, don't. And now it's Jacinto's turn. Jacinto, what would you like
to
do? No, don't do that.
Oh, boy.
They're running away.
Jacinto doesn't have anything for this distance. This is quite a distance to put a number to it. This is a 230-foot distance. Jacinto just sort of looks at Blue, shrugs, and tells Artani to go. Oh, the rest of them are dead. Okay. Oh, no, wait. Green's over there and Blue's over there. Yep. Jacinto just sort of, you know, sends a mental command to Artania, who flutters down to the ground. And we assess wounds. Except we don't have any. That's my turn.
Sure. Lahad, what would you like to do?
I think Green would like to die.
I feel like it violently disagrees with that statement.
I'm just going to shoot once. I'll get a little bit closer, even. You know, why not?
Sure. How many range increments are...
That's one move, 70 feet closer, 180 feet there. And let's roll this dice. My range is 50 feet, so that's third range increment. So
minus six.
A 19 to hit, that's probably a miss.
That will not hit.
Math finder.
Do. Fib, what would you like to do?
Alright, which one of them looks most damaged?
The one that looks most damaged right now is green.
Alright, I'm pretty sure I can do my little light teleport thing and still punch. Let me check real fast. No witnesses.
Oh no, are we the bad guys?
Oh yeah, I can do it.
Oh my god, as a move action. That is such a great move action.
I'm chasing down green and punching.
Yeah, this is the move that almost had Finn teleport to a spaceship to try and punch it.
It's the best move. I love this move.
A 21 will miss, but let's get your token up here.
Finn turns to light and reappears across the map and tries to punch Harpy.
Yeah, we'll get it for sure. I mentioned magic is faster than any operative ever lately.
And I got the movement down. I'm on it.
Cool. Yep, there you go. Whoa, why am I doing that? No, there we go. I fixed it. Ava, what would you like to do?
Finn had it right. No witnesses. If they can run while flying, I can run while flying, right?
Sure, yeah.
All right. Full action run to there.
And now I need you to miss with all of your attacks, everybody.
Running is a full round action. So I just got up in Harpy's face again.
Yes, they have a chance to survive. A chance!
Roll the kisser.
Grar, what would you like to do?
Let's do a distance thinger.
Oh man, I could put four people in the void chambers and teleport them with me.
Oh yeah, plenty of speed. Vroom. Can we continue? Vroom.
And that bear's too fast.
The bear's got a jetpack.
I enjoy that they're not getting away.
You foolish birds, you cannot outrun a bear with a jetpack.
They've made the mistake of running. It only makes the bear more interested.
A 28 does hit.
Alright.
For 47 damage. It's still alive. It's still alive. Barely.
Barely.
Upcoming attack for opportunity, buddy. Not done with you yet.
But we rarely do medicine checks. Playing dead actually might have let them survive. We might have injured them and moved on.
Yeah.
It is the Harpy Monk's turn. Judy insisted upon a hug. Sorry about that.
Aww.
Finn, you're gonna get an attack of opportunity.
Nice.
And looking at their sheet, I realize I've been ignoring the fact that they have mobility.
Oh no, what does that mean?
It means they get a plus 4 to their armor class versus attacks of opportunity.
Does a 31 hit even with that?
So their armor class, I'm just gonna tell you, is 28. So plus 4 is 32. One of them's getting away.
I have an attack opportunity as blue as well.
Yep, but that's on blue. This is green.
Well, I miss blue anyway. Please continue.
Yep. So move action over here, and then they're going to descend down. and then you miss your attack, and they get over here, and they descend down into the depths. Sento, what would you like to do?
Well, seeing that the fight has not ended yet, Jacinto will calmly mount Artania, who, you know, like, kneels on his front four legs. And then, so we're together, we're mounted, and Artania will bear us forth, running while flying to here, north. So, you know, about 40 feet from the depths that the harpies just descended into.
All
and
right.
That's our turn.
Lahan.
Harpies went down the hole.
The harpies went down the hole.
Rude. Let's go look down the hole.
Okay.
What's down there?
So there's a ramp descending down this hole. Right at the top of the ramp, it's like a, you know, 10-foot, actually it'd be like a 15-foot wide ramp. It starts right in front of you, Lahan, basically going diagonally north and east. And there's a giant pile of bodies at the bottom of this hole, just in various states of decomposition. At a quick glance, seeing as how some of these bodies are very, very, very large in size, you might even say mechanically huge on occasion, you do see Sahedron runes carved into the bodies. And you see harpy monks trying to flutter off into some side hallway down at the bottom. You're muted.
Lovely.
We did not hear
that. That's great. That's all I got.
Finn.
So they got far enough away that we cannot see them?
They went down 60 feet down. I removed them from the map because I don't think that would be super easy to see from the angle that you're at.
Fair. Well, what's that big old wolf thing over there?
There's a bear locked into a dining hall. Then there's Bubbles, the wolloped that Ava kind of tamed.
Okay, so nothing for murders. Alright. Finn's gonna fly over the hole and sigh.
Sure.
He wanted to do more murder. Very disappointing.
There's also a very freshly slain Sharpwing lying on top of the pile of bodies.
We did that.
Nice. I enjoy how proud you sound of this.
Look at how big it is. Doesn't taste great, but it's okay. I'll take one out of two.
That's what she said.
Alright. Ava, what would you like to do?
I need to know how far somebody can free action falling around.
I mean, if you're legitimately going to fall, I think you can fall, like, 500 feet in a turn, but then you have to start factoring in falling damage. And
I'm supposed to be the reckless one.
Ava's gonna fly over the hole and say, "What's the matter, Finn? Losing your stomach for combat already?" And then just cut her jetpack and she's gonna start free falling into the pit.
Aw, man, you know I'm gonna have to chase you now. I cannot take that challenge.
You're free falling into this pit, you say. Awesome.
You guys as frontliners are gonna get you killed.
Yep.
We'll make an acrobatics check. Because that'll allow you to convert 10 feet of falling damage to non-lethal damage.
It's the first 10 feet for some reason, so it's literally pointless if you're falling more than 10 feet.
Okay. Well, then don't worry about it. Roll 96, Leif.
Am I going to fall the entire way?
You fall hundreds of feet in a single fall is what happens when you fall, Leif. Unless you have level 1 flight cast on you, which is effectively feather fall and slows your descent to 60 feet.
But wouldn't she be able to activate a jetpack back on at some point if she wanted?
That's what I was going to do.
If you want to do something fancy like that, I will let you make a difficult piloting or act, or either a reflex save or a piloting check to trigger your thrusters at the appropriate moment to not slam violently into the ground.
That sounds fair.
But the moment you say you're gonna fall, unless you have something to mitigate falling damage, unless you're falling like 1,000 feet, you're gonna hit the ground the same turn you say you're falling.
Ladder foils. You have ladder foils.
There's also descent thrusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are ways to mitigate it. I am not arguing against that. But if you want to make if you want to do something fancy, you don't have those other things. I would say a difficult reflex save or a difficult piloting check to fly the heck out of that jetpack.
Or 96 damage, which in the grand scheme of things is not a lot of damage.
Better yet. Can I just bump Fuzzle's belt to put glider foils on Ava's armor, which wasn't looking?
Does she have a slot for it?
Do you have a slot for it, Leif?
No, I don't.
Do you have a slot you would be okay sacrificing for narratively Lahan took something out and put glider foils in instead?
No, these are all very important.
Oh, then you're gonna hit the ground.
Unless I have 24 reflex save or not.
Sorry, I didn't see the reflex roll. Judy was asking me to charge her tablet. And I didn't hear the whoop from roll 20. 24 does not make it, so it is 96 damage as you fall. You do land into a squishy pile of bodies, so you took less damage than you were going.
Was she close? Do we have any plus ones?
You not close. Difficult. I made it very difficult because this was not a thing that the game intended. So, and you rolled poorly, which is good because you only took 28 damage.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
So that's Ava. Grawr.
Unless I'm coming off cliffs.
Yeah. We're basically gods. I'm sure some of you get that reference. Shades. But, so Ava cut her thrust and descended violently into the pile of corpses below. Grawr, what would you like to do?
Grawr looks at what these small, humanoid savages are doing and flips his jetpack to do jetpack things, flies down into the pit, looks at the pile of corpses, is visibly disgusted, which is saying something considering the stuff that he eats, and looks around, finds the harpies. So that should be... So what's the harpy speed?
So the harpies actually took a move action and spent an RP to manifest two key abilities. And what they did was they manifested enhanced flight and then flight speed and then the enhanced flight speed option, which increased their flight speed by 20 feet because they already have a flight speed. So their speed is actually 60 feet.
That is my speed. Can I charge up to them, or is it too blind for that?
here, let me bring them back, because technically they would not have gotten to the bottom of the pit just yet. And if people are moving into the pit after them, you're going to be able to see them. You guys were very determined to chase these harpies down. I was like, I was assuming you were going to be like, nah, they're just going to get away. People
know. A penny in for a pound.
But, so...
Not assuming does.
You could...
It makes your players do the opposite.
You could... If you... I think you'd have to move over the pit and then down. And they are 60 feet down into the pit. Well, 40 feet for that one down, and then 50 feet for the other one, because they were a little bit above the pit when they descended.
Okay. There he goes, Bush.
With your speed, I'm sure you could get adjacent to it. Yep. Ava is underneath it. First one is... First one's going to continue fleeing.
So hold on, I get to attack it too because I'm charging, right?
Oh, if you did charge, yes. Yes. 35. Super hits. And I need... I think I'm... Just a second, I gotta move you. Okay, you obliterate blue. It's just gone.
Kind of feels like, you know, dog fighting with, like, fighter planes, right?
Yeah. I'm just picturing a grizzly bear running on all fours through the air as part of a dog fight, though, and it's hilarious. The one remaining harpy monk is desperately going to continue trying to flee. It was 50 feet down. It can get to the bottom and start moving laterally. And Finn was above it, because I don't believe Finn had descended into the hole.
So, nah, I didn't realize I could see him, and I don't feel like changing it.
Okay. So it's down to the bottom, and it is starting to move this way, north. And it's Jacinto's turn. And...
Jacinto, the largely feeling mostly useless this fight, is going to, aside from that time that he, you know, shot mind bullets at a harpy.
Hey, you did that twice.
I did. No, I'm not, listen, I'm not complaining. There's just not a lot for me to do this fight, really, because they keep running away from my spell range. So, I think I should have been checking this before, but... Oh, you know what? I probably have spell. Nah, spell didn't so much. Ego whip? No, not far enough. Yeah, Jacinto's just going to keep an eye on the situation. He'll be the eyes in the sky. He'll descend like 10 feet into the pit on Artania, so this way we're not like at the top alone. But also close enough to Lahan. I don't know. I'll be mid range. That's my turn.
Lahan, what would you like to do?
Suppose I will activate my glider coil.
Sure.
And jump off the edge.
Sure. All right. Just 1 second. I'm gonna copy everybody here, and we're going to be going to another map.
Good.
You did it. You triggered the next
one. The secret boss.
Secret boss.
The public secret boss.
He's in like Jeopardy music.
Sorry. Just situating some things.
Oh, I'm just... Don't mind me.
Yep. Just letting you know what's going on.
Can't stand the quiet.
Alright. So you said this was like 90 feet, Jet?
Yeah, it's from the floor all the way to... From the upper deck floor... To this lower deck floor, I had it at about 100 feet. Okay. And then there was like the pile of bodies, which subtracted a little bit from that, and people were starting above that, and that was affecting things. So
now I was a swift action and a move action, but I still shoot that harpy.
Sure, if you really want to, you can.
Thanks. The 29 hit that harpy?
A 29 does hit that harpy, assuming you're in the same range increment.
I guess that's up to you. You said it was 100 foot fall.
Yeah, you're at the very top, right? Or how far?
And then I took a shot.
You activated glider foils and then you just jumped in, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely get to you could get to the bottom, or very, very, very close to the bottom at that time, because the glider foils slow your descent, don't they?
They do indeed.
So, yeah, you would definitely be within 50 feet. So, 29 hits, 30 damage, and oh, it's beyond all reason, it is still alive. Gosh darn it.
Why won't you die?
Rude.
It just wants to get away and tell everyone.
Or rush from a base to kill us all. Yeah, got it. No. Heard it all before.
It's Finn's turn.
Just want to murder you.
It's objectively not trying to murder you. It's trying to run away.
Trying to get other people to murder us, which is only different in terms of culpability.
How far down is it?
The pit itself is 100 feet. Finn was, I believe,
I'm at the top, pretty much.
At the top, pretty much. There you go. So, Finn, if you just double move, you'd be 60 feet down.
I'm still Photon of Boon.
You're still Photon of Boon. So you could just teleport right next to the guy. Or gal.
Yep, blink and punch. I'm gonna do the old blink and punch.
Sure. Oh no. Let's put this. There we go. Right next to each other. Sorry if I'm just a little bit out of it. My sinuses decided it hated the cold snap today, and they've gone crazy. And you critically hit.
That's the wrong button.
It's fine.
I don't even have that out.
Just roll your attack. We know it's a critical hit. And you roll a second critical hit. You obliterate this creature. How do you obliterate it? What does it look like when you obliterate this creature? Because
Finn disappears for a second and reappears 60 feet down. And I imagine he's like super bright when he reappears because he was using his photon powers. And he just cold clocks this harpy like so hard that it explodes into like feathers and gore and viscera, and anybody down below gets showered.
Yeah. Gosh. You guys are so brutal. So brutal. No, I'm fine. I just want to try and make you feel bad. It's okay.
We have transcended your feelings.
Why do you want to make us feel bad?
You're trying to make a zombie feel bad.
Because I'm trying to discourage murder hobo-itis. Because that sometimes rears its head.
So it's... But like, we weren't even making murder hobo decisions. We're not killing them because LOL. We were killing them because, you know, they were going to warn the base about us.
Yeah, we also have the details.
Sure.
No witnesses.
No saying no witnesses. That makes it sound like the bad guys.
Yeah. No witnesses. No witnesses. So you're in the pit. And I have a little bit of a description of the pit. You are currently standing on, Ava is a little bit indented into, a tangle of bones and broken bodies. It's a combination of humanoid, giant, and there are even four dragon corpses. Three blue and one red, all at least large-sized. And
yeah, someone's been eating well.
Yeah, there are dozens of small robots swarming over the bodies, breaking them down until only the bones remain.
Robots.
Yep. And as I said at the top, because Lahan has such sharp eyes, has her robot eyes.
I tore them out of the prison, yes.
Do you notice that on the bodies that have not yet been defleshed by these small robots, there are Sahedron runes carved into each of the bodies, at least in one location. So either carved or branded, the dragon bodies, at least the red one that was resistant to branding, had it carved into the flesh. The other ones that were more susceptible to branding looked as though it's like the same brand, just bam, 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 almost like a mass scale, like production line thing. And that's kind of what you're standing in, is just a giant pile of bodies slowly being defleshed by robots.
Nice. Very good.
And I'm not telling you to walk out of this pit and go back up top, but I did want to remind you, because my map was a little unclear, because it's one I drew myself. There was one area that you did not fully investigate up top, but you don't have to investigate it. I just wanted to remind you.
We also didn't actually, like, search the airlock.
You didn't look in the airlock fully, no, and you didn't. You went into the black, what is called the Black Tower, and you found a secret chute descending down into the depths, but you were like, nope, we're not going in there right now.
Yeah. I think we can probably continue this way, check it on the way out. What do you guys think?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
I'll follow you.
Okay.
So where would you like to go?
Let's go southwest.
Not a tank.
I'm not a tank.
I don't have an opinion.
Southwest it is.
I just make little loopy loops to the air and murder people. Oh no, I am a murderer.
Let's go this way.
You are getting very adept at using that jetpack, Grar.
So,
well, thank you. It's never really come up as much, but I appreciate it. I think it's definitely growing on me. I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, you're fine. You feel free to roleplay. that room to the southwest. That it on the map is just open. It actually does have a sort of a curtain draped over it. It appears to be made of a dire bear, some stitched together dire bear pelts forming that curtain. If you pull it to the side, you can see that more dire bear pelts have been fastened to the walls and the floor even. It's like shag carpeting, but over every surface, and they're just piled all over a crude bed in the corner. It's special.
Well, that's something. That looks like something out of a space 70s porno gone wrong.
Yeah, and it's, you know, optimally situated right off of the giant pile of bodies.
Yeah, right next to the corpse pile. Good, good, good.
Prime real estate, that.
Yep.
I'm a leave this place.
Oh, you're not, you don't want to look through the room at all?
Oh, I mean, we'll make a perception check. It's just that Finn and Grar went north.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'll say we look through it.
Finn and Grar could go north. Just pause on that thought. We'll do the perception checks in here, and I'll tell them some stuff depending on their role, and then we'll bounce back to you. It'll be great.
My favorite check that I got a nat 1 on. You know what? We have 40 minutes left in the episode. I'm gonna take a reroll.
I'll glance in there too. The 35.
I won't take a reroll. That's great.
Okay. So digging around in this room, you find the preserved head of a frost giant Jarl. The beards of 100 dwarves, each neatly bundled and secured with a silver ring worth 10 credits. part of a marsh giant's grossly elastic but impressively tattooed hide, and there are bits of broken and dented pieces of armor from probably a dozen different warriors. If you wanted to spend maybe an hour digging through this pile, you could probably fashion a set of level 12 armor out of it.
Probably make a cool wig too.
Yeah. And
you and I have different definitions of cool.
Rooting around further in the room under another pile of blankets in the corner, you find 33 shields, each marked with the name of a human, elf, or dwarf hero. Because some of these names, like, you're like, that guy was kind of famous and then he disappeared. What's his name doing on this shield in this weird room?
Huh.
If one of you would like to make a culture check.
Oh, yeah.
Toot toot.
And still higher than my 4.
Yeah, but not by much.
That's pretty good.
I actually have culture. Well.
Well.
Not enough to make a difference.
No. You're like, oh, look at all these names. That's what you know about these shields. But for those of you that did, some of you wandered north. I am going to, assuming I can pull up the correct screen, I'm going to pull up this. If you look a little bit to the north, can you see someone creeping up on you? There is an elderly giant very surreptitiously moving down the hall, peeking around the corner, and they see you. And when they see you, they're not holding a weapon in their hand. They're elderly. They have cracked stone-like hide. They are wearing a form of armor. They hold up a finger over their lips, and they gesture for you to, like this, to follow them, like, you know, just one hand gesturing towards them, and they sort of turn down the hallway.
Okay.
They haven't seen anything.
We should send
them out. I'm sold. Let's go.
Oh, hold your horses. 31 cents motive?
They appear very earnest in their desire for you to follow them, and you're not sensing hostility.
Before we do that, I'm just gonna like pull out a little miniature sun and stick it under the blankets, turn it on, and walk away in the gross room.
So you're starting a fire.
Let's add property damage.
A hair fire. I mean,
we were gonna come for property
damage.
It's
gross.
Yeah, I know.
It is gross. To buy a miniature sun.
You're not making it less gross though, because it's a gross hair fire now.
Yeah, but it's
we have a mystic. He could have healed it. He could have done the token spell thing.
I don't care. I'm going to kill it with fire.
And there's a giant chimney here anyway. I mean, the chimney is full of dead bodies, so this is all going to stink. Luckily, we have life bubble up because we have a mythic in the party, so we always
have
life bubble up.
We also have environmental controls, too. So it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. But once again, Jacinto, you sense no hostility.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, they appear to be very earnest in their desire for you to follow them.
Fair enough. I'll just ignore the color of their token ring. Jacinto, that's mostly a joke. I'm actually not reading into it, but, Jacinto says, well, I don't sense, telepathically, I don't sense anything. Let's be cautious. And he'll reach down and poke Artanya, and Artanya suddenly sprouts spikes everywhere. Defrex hardiness. Jacinto, it should be noted, is flying 10 feet above the corpse pile, but we'll land on our Tanya on the ground once we avoid the corpse pile.
Well, having gestured for you to follow them, they start slowly moving down the hallway. at the end of the hallway, they hold their palm out and they put it on a little scanner here, and then they walk inside this room. And I need to go to dynamic lighting and delete that door for you so you can see inside here.
Generator.
It's I drew this map based on the wonderful map that Paizo did that wasn't extremely applicable for how I had changed things. That is actually an altar.
Fair.
And let me pull up. Gosh, so many screens to juggle right now, and for some reason, all of a sudden, it's just defeating me that I have that many screens.
I need more monitors, Jack.
I know, I do need more monitors, so I can very clearly put things where I just want them to be instead of having to juggle tabs and monitors.
Yeah, I mean, everybody should be able to have a monitor for every tab they have, right?
Yes. Just a second.
A monitor for every tab.
One second.
We ran on that platform, Tom. I built for you.
I'm sorry, could you say it again, Link?
I said if you ran on that platform, I'd vote for you.
Oh, God.
So, in here, the walls of this room are painted with red, yellow, brown, and black figures, among which are apparently images of giants, mammoths, elk, deer, and wyverns of various types. Some of these wyverns appear to have void black hides with tiny little specks of either blue or white or yellow in them, as though they have a star field on their scaled hide. The mammoths have calcified growths bursting through their hide. The elk or the deer, some of them have normal antlers. Some of the antlers appear to be tentacles. You know, these are scenes from all over, and there are other images, and they're harder to figure out. There might be ogres, or perhaps giant children, or maybe even humans. Dwarves are very clear, though. They have beards, tiny axes, and they're usually being crushed under enormous giant feet. There is a simple recessed LED light set around this altar at the end of the room. And there is a modest offering of antlers, hooves, and patches of fur piled in front of the altar. One of the very strong motifs that is present on this altar, that's been carved into this altar, or extruded, or welded, or brazed, because this is a mishmash of stone and metal work, it's bears. Bears are, I think as you've run into these giants time and time again, and bears have been present. Bears are important to these giants and their culture. It's a little bit odd considering they're very much a spacefaring species and predominantly live in the void, but maybe the bears are something that they've cultivated from their time when they were on a planet or a moon of their origin.
Who would like bears?
Huh?
Who would not like bears, though? I don't know if that tells us a whole lot.
The elderly giant makes her way over to the altar and lovingly runs her hands across it. And as she does so, the ghostly image of a male giant sort of appears behind her and lovingly rests his hand on her shoulder. And she just bows her head for a moment, straightens her back, turns and looks into all of your eyes, like one by one. And there's a little bit of nerves, but you can still see that she steeled herself for this. And my brain is just being scattered right now, and I apologize.
It's all good.
It happens.
I don't know why, it's just like the gears are grinded to a halt. She looks at you and she very resolutely says, If you're here to kill Mokmirian, you have an ally in us. And I know it's a little bit early, but this talk could go a while, and I don't know if we want to push through this talk. I'll leave that up to you, because I don't want to stop in the middle of it.
I'm a fan of starting on important talks.
Yeah, it's, on the one hand, it is a cliffhanger-y kind of, you know, finish.
I'm afraid that we would get halfway into it and then stop and then have to try and pick up a conversation in a week.
Yeah, that does sound really bad.
So, barring any objections, I think that's where we'll pause. Is her proclaiming that she is your ally as long as your intention is to slay Mokmirian.
Good, good.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. I had a lot of fun tonight. I hope you guys had some fun. I know it was mostly just a fight and a chase and some falling.
The falling was great.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed the falling. I love that choice, Leif. That was great. Just like, yep, I'm making that decision. I don't care if I can't mitigate it. I would like to thank Paizo for this wonderful product. And specifically, I don't know why I forget the author. The author is very important. I'm just bad. Especially this name, Wolfgang Bauer. Thank you for writing book 4, Fortress of the Stone Giants, Wolfgang Bauer. I very much appreciate your efforts to bring this to us. Leif, I'd like to thank you for running audio, and I'd like to ask who we have to thank for providing their wonderful sounds.
Yes, thank you to Lo-Fi Girl and Alex Productions, as always, for their wonderful sounds, as Chad put it.
Awesome. Once again, thank you for playing with me. Also, thank you, Steve Kohling, for your Isle of Lore status icons, and thank you, Nick, for gifting that to me. Speaking of Nick, what do we have going on Sunday?
Oh, nothing to see over here. Oh, wait, there is totally something to see. Because, you know, it's a stream. There better be something to see. On Sunday, we'll be continuing the exploration of the library for Teacher Ott, finding the rest of those books. And then moving on to some more really extracurricular activities.
Will there be silence in the library?
Hopefully.
No, probably not.
No, probably not, because the ceaseless buzzing, right?
We could bring silence to the library after we end the ceaseless buzzing.
Why would you do that? Don't.
And then we could make jokes about who turned out the lights.
But it's their home. Bad dreams.
I immediately went to Doctor Who when you said that, Tom, and I went to the wrong reference. I went to the Weeping Angels, I believe is, you know what I'm talking about, instead of the library full of all-consuming darkness that was a thing.
The silence.
The Vashta Narada. Oh, man. That's two episodes in a row that I've referenced Doctor Who.
Next week, we'll continue here, and we will be starting with a conversation with an elderly giant who apparently is working against Mokmirian for whatever reason.
Good, yes. Mm.
If you have any questions, comments, shout-outs, feel free to contact us. We have a number of ways. One is email, nonstandardaction@gmail.com. Another one, and a much more efficient one, honestly, Discord. There is a link below if you're watching us on YouTube or Twitch. And there is one in the show notes if you're listening on the podcast. We're all right. I mean, if you're listening or watching this episode, you're pretty deep in, and I feel like you probably like us a decent amount. You might want to visit us on Discord and say hi. Also, on the Discord, on the welcome channel and the feedback channel, is a form, and you can go and fill that form out, and you can give me icebreaker questions. And I say me, you're giving us them, but Nick has like 300 to go through. I am I have a little bit of a cushion now. Some people very kindly filled out some more icebreaker questions, but I'm always going to ask more. So feel free to give them to me. I will consume them and give them to my players, and they will answer your questions. And if one of them's not here, we'll make up an answer for their character, and it will become canonical.
And we may never tell them what the answer is.
We're bad about it. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
There's a lot of things that Lapis doesn't know about Finn, as it turns out.
True.
That is very true. But with all of that, I think it's time for us to say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye to everybody.
Oh, I messed it up. Post show will be in general voice if you want to join us on Discord and chit chat. But once again, bye everybody. I'm sorry.
Toodles.